Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good to be with you. I'm Bart Winkler. Trying something out. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. It is night one of the NBA draft, and it has come and it has gone. And now everybody can have a good night of sleep. And then tomorrow, we will watch 29 more guys get drafted in the NBA draft. Cooper Flagg goes number one to the Mavericks. Dylan Harper goes number two to the Spurs. You may know Dylan Harper as Ron Harper's son. You may know Ron Harper as a five-time NBA champion, twice with the Lakers, thrice with the Bulls, played for the Clippers and the Cavs before that. Ron Harper, man, he played for... Let me just count it up here. 4 years with Cleveland, five with the Clippers, four plus five, carry the one. That's nine. Five more in Chicago. We're adding five to nine. So you go 9, 10, 19, 14, and then 16 years. Ron Harper played in the league for 16 years. And over the course of his career, he made $35 million. Dylan Harper was drafted number two overall out of Rutgers to the Spurs. And his first rookie contract is worth $56 million. If Cooper Flagg, by the way, becomes a superstar and signs supermaxes when he's eligible, the next two times he would be eligible, he'll play on his rookie extension, his rookie contract, and then be eligible for a supermax and then maybe another one. If that's the case, with the way these salaries have ballooned now, he would be in line to make, by the time he's 31 years old, $930 million. It is a lot of money. We're getting closer to the $75 million a year guy. With SGA's extension, we're going to get close to the $80 million a year guy. We're going to get close to $100 million a year guy in the NBA, barring some sort of really rock the boat, rock the system kind of change to how these salaries are dished out and how the money does come in. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. David is in Buffalo. David.
Hey, Bart, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, what's up?
Yeah, man, I just want to jump in and talk a little bit about the draft and the moves Boston made. I think the draft, to me, is becoming a lot like the NHL draft. You're getting a lot of guys that are from overseas, a lot of guys that people just don't really know, and it's more of a hypothesis or a guess to see if these guys are going to be any good at the next level. So that's what I think about the draft now. It's really wide open and so much unpredictability with it. As far as Boston goes, I think Brad Stevens, to me, this is where we're going to find out what kind of evaluator of talent he really is with these younger guys they're probably going to have to go with because of where they were with the salary situation. So I'm curious to see what moves he still has this summer because I think Boston, to me, is going to take a step back. But are they rebuilding or are they reloading is the big question, I think.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do, David, good to hear from you, is they're trying to get under that second apron, which they've been successful for. They signed, I think what Boston did was they had this core group of guys and they won a title. And then so you got to think, let's keep going with these group of guys and we'll, you know, extend them and that's fine. We're going to go into the luxury tax. We're going to pay a lot of money. We're going to get caught in the second apron. We're going to be limited by what we can do, but we like the team that we have built, and we're going to continue with this team. They've done that. Then this year, they fell short. Then they sold to new ownership, and now new ownership comes in, and they are looking at it like, well, we're kind of still paying off of, like, we sat down to dinner here, but we're still paying off of what you ordered. We'd like to at least shape our own meal here. And so maybe we want some of these contracts off the books. Maybe we want to shed salary. This was all maybe a thing that was going to happen anyway, maybe, as I said maybe five times there. And then Jason Tatum gets hurt. And so now you think, how are we going to pivot? What are we going to do? What is our 2025-2026 going to look like next year? We're not going to win a championship. And we're a championship-driven team. We're a team that we exist to win a championship. So if we're not going to win a championship, what are we going to do? Are we going to try to put out a competitive team and try to win a championship? Or are we going to start to look at, all right, we rebuild, retool, regroup, Tatum comes back, and we're good. Porzingis and Drew Holiday, probably one of them was going to be moved regardless. Both of them, maybe. Now we're into the conversation of, well, you got Derek White for a few years. You got Derek White under contract for this year and two after that. You got Jaylen Brown under contract for this year and then, you know, three after that, and he's eligible for another extension. What do we do here? In 4 years, I mean, you're going to have Brown and Tatum together making $131 million. Tatum with that player option, he'll be a $71 million guy in 2029, 2030. One thing that is off the table now because night one happened, although I guess you could still go back and trade for their rights, but I think it's unlikely now you see some of the big superstars that could have been dealt for picks because, again, night one is in the books. Although, like I said, the Nets drafted all five of their guys. Does that mean they're all five going to be Brooklyn Nets, or are we going to see some sort of deal in the coming hours or even tomorrow? There's still that air of uncertainty that really kind of takes a little bit out of the NBA draft, which I think it's very easily fixable, but they don't seem like they're really in the market to try to fix that. Carlos with a C in Maryland. Carlos.
My guy, Bart.
What up?
I got to talk about the draft, of course.
Hit me.
So the draft to me was this is actually one of the best drafts, I'm not going to lie, for the NBA since the draft with like the Luka and Trey, to be honest, because you got to look at it in perspective. Like, Cooper Flagg was an obvious number one, you know, but everyone else after that, it was, you know, not only was there parity, there was just a lot of, you know, it was a lot of greatness, you know. I feel like this draft have a lot of all-stars from it, you know, in the future. Probably more than a lot of the other drafts in the past few years. But, of course, I'm a Celtics fan, and I don't like what the last caller said about Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is definitely an evaluator of talent, and he knows what he's doing. I definitely trust what they're doing right now. Yes, we traded away Drew Holiday. I feel like that was actually a good thing, considering he's a 35-year-old veteran who is getting paid too much for his age and not the production that's needed. And Chris Tapps has an underlying condition where his knees can physically not stay up past 20 games. So I don't really feel bad, to be honest. Plus, we got a better point guard, in my opinion, a younger point guard. And I feel like whoever we just drafted, I feel like is going to help us some way or somehow. So I think we'll be okay. But that's all I wanted to call about. Thank you, Bart.
Yep, Carlos, good to talk to you. Yeah, again, the Celtics aren't going to win a championship here this year, but I think what they're doing is just taking a little bit of a, you know, assessment. What is the best case for us? We're going to try to be competitive in 2026, but then we got to clear enough space off the books. We got to get some guys in here, get them some time, so that when Tatum's back, we can go. Or maybe they're even thinking, screw that, we are trying to win. We think Tatum could at least come back if we get to the playoffs. I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in, but the East is wide open. Why can't we do it? Just get some contracts out of here, get younger, and, you know, anything is possible. You mentioned that draft with Luka and Trae Young. It's fun to go back and look at some of these drafts. 2018 would have been that draft. Number one, DeAndre Ayton to the Suns. Marvin Bagley Jr. to the Kings. What's MB3 up to these days? He's with the Grizzlies. He's been on a few different teams. Luka at 3. Jaren Jackson Jr. at 4. Memphis still there. Trae Young at 5. Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter, 6 and 7. Colin Sexton, 8. Kevin Knox, 9. Mikal Bridges at number 10. 888-710-4ISN. Robert's in Annapolis. Robert!
Hey, voices. Before I get to the NBA draft, you mentioned the thing with the hotel at the Toronto Stadium. When that first opened up, you would have been your son's age, but when that thing first opened up, I think it was called the Sky Dome, during the course of a game, the camera actually caught a couple, as Will Smith would say, getting jiggy with it, and it wound up on the Jumbotron or whatever they call that big screen, caused quite a stir. I don't know if you ever heard about that. But
I definitely heard about it. There was also a time that one guy was getting jiggy with himself.
Yes. That was more recently. But anyhow, in the NBA draft, an ongoing theme tonight, I'm going to throw away eight well-known NBA names at you. Tell me what they have in common whenever it hits you. Stephon Marbury, Rajon Rondo, Kevin Love, Vince Carter, Kawhi Leonard, Dominic Wilkins, Scott Pippen, and this one should give it away, Kobe Bryant.
Teams that were drafted by not the team they were drafted by. Players.
No. Well, I don't know what you're saying there. Guys that did not actually play, players that did not actually play for the teams that drafted them. I think
that's what I meant to say. That's what I tried to. I said it, and then you said it in English.
Right. All right, we'll count that as the Bart mistake of the evening. All right, one last one. Exit here. In your lifetime, Bart Winkler's lifetime, the Milwaukee Bucks have only had the number one draft in the NBA draft one time. Do you know who that was?
Well, they took Mike. No, that's wrong. Two times.
In your lifetime, I'm aware of one. All right, go ahead.
Who's yours, Big Dog?
Is that Glenn Robinson?
Yeah.
All right, 1990. Who was the other one they had?
Andrew Bogut.
What year was that? That's an unfamiliar name to me. How did he do?
2003?
All right. Well, then maybe I'm the moron and you are not. So, anyhow.
2005.
I remember. 2005, you're saying he was the number one pick in the draft? How about that? Now, they had two early on, obviously, Lou Alcindor, as he was then called, and Kent Benson. I believe Kent Benson, if you ever read about him, he was a center out of maybe Indiana, was a Milwaukee Bucks, had the first-round pick. But anyhow, that's my contribution on the NBA draft. Other than this, how big is the chasm, I guess is the word, between the three-day extravaganza that is the NFL draft and this procedure that the other leagues go through? I mean, come on, what are the ratings on this thing going to be? But thanks for taking my call, my friend.
Oh, yeah, thanks for the call, Robert. NBA draft ratings, I don't know, I think it does about 4 million, maybe? The NBA draft's ratings in about 4.5 million. I don't know. I mean, today's landscape, that is not a bad number. Today's landscape, like, nobody's watching anything. I can tell you what people are watching on TV.
People are watching Love Island.
People are watching the news. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People are watching not TV. So we always talk about these TV ratings. And it's like we're just talking about broadcast and cable. Everybody else is watching all this other stuff at their own, like on their own accord. Yeah. Love Island. I'm not. Are you?
Hell no. But you know who is? And I was shocked, and I actually think less of him now that I know his information. Zach Gelb.
Yeah, my guess is going to be Gelb.
Gelb is all in on Love Island, and that makes me sick to my stomach. I had a lot of respect for him. I like him personally, like him professionally. I feel different. now that I have that information that he actually watches that crap. Because that's what it is. It's pure crap.
What is the twist on that one? Like, what's different?
You're asking me. It's like you're asking me to break down quantum physics or ancient Egyptian history. Like, I don't know. It's my wife watches it, so I've seen maybe like 2.5 episodes
like,
if you combine
like,
them all my time. It's basically Love
like Temptation
Connection
Island.
So yeah, like that. I guess another show that I never watched, but it's Love Connection with Survivor, with Temptation Island, with another like Real World Road Rules type show.
Oh, okay, here it is. Love Island involves a group of contestants referred to as Islanders, living in isolation from the outside world.
Yeah, outside, sure.
Constantly under video surveillance, so like Big Brother-y. To survive, the Islanders must be coupled up with another Islander, whether it be for love, friendship, survival. The winning couple gets $100,000. On the first day, they couple up for the first time based on first impressions, but over the duration of the series, they are forced to recouple where they can choose or be chosen to remain or swap. Somebody was just telling me about a show like that, but with moms and kids.
What?
Like, not like kid, not like children. It's called MILF Manor.
Oh, is Zach Wilson in that?
8 pairs of mothers and sons traveled to a villa in Mexico to look for love.
That's gross. That's absolutely disgusting. Imagine, like, because I assume it's the same thing as this Love Island crap that are all living together. Dude, imagine watching some guy come out of your room, come out of a room, and then your mom walks out like 2 seconds after that. That's gross.
Yeah, so 8 guys show up thinking they're going to meet 8 ladies, and then 8 ladies show up thinking they're going to meet 8 guys, and then when the curtain's revealed or whatever, the mom sees her son and the son sees the mom. And so then they like, I don't know.
That is disgusting and something
and
that
like guys go with their friends and moms too.
Yeah,
so like kids are hooking up with their friends. Moms.
This sounds like bad writing on a late night Cinemax movie.
Anyway, the NBA draft will probably be the highest rated thing on
good segue.
Television. I'll give you Monday night's ratings, top 10 ratings of all of television. Not streaming, but all of television. 1.7 million people watched a show called Scamanda. It was on ABC. I don't know what it is. Then 2 million people watched the Rachel Maddow show. 2.2 million people watched a rerun of The Neighborhood on CBS. 2.4 million watched a rerun of FBI Most Wanted on CBS. 2.5 million people watched a rerun of FBI on CBS.
How is CBS not the most expensive network on the planet?
2.5 million people watched American Ninja Warrior fresh episode on NBC. 2.6 million people watched The Neighborhood rerun again on CBS. And number 3 was Gutfeld on Fox News, 3.3 million people. At number 2 was Hannity, Fox News, 3.7 million people. And the number 1 most watched show on TV is Jesse Waters Primetime. 4.3 million people watched it. The highest rated sports show of the evening was, I believe, this was Monday. What was going on Monday? Did we have anything going on Monday? No, it was the night after the draft. The highest rated sports show going on Monday, I think, was the FIFA World Cup, Inter Miami against whoever the hell they played. Oof. Like 300,000 people. Is that right?
Yeah, because Sunday was the finals. Monday was the moratorium on the finals. We had nothing. Now we're deep into baseball season, people. Wake up.
There was some FS1 aired a baseball game that got 100,000 viewers. Yeah, the World Cup game got 110,000 viewers. Ugliest House in America got 800,000 viewers on HGTV. Basketball Wives on VH1 got 300,000 viewers.
Oh, thank God. That's 300 too many.
Yeah, so people are watching reruns on CBS or the news. That's what's happening. The Miami game. The Miami game got 600,000. Okay, that's better. 888-710-4ISN. What did we see tonight? We saw the NBA draft. So how quick are these guys going to have an impact? We'll look at that from a historical standpoint coming up next on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. If you're stuck in a timeshare and want out, contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit. You can get that at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Something I want to complain about, but I don't want to, you know, just hammer it over and over again. So I'll let Scott Van Pelt do it for 15 seconds.
I'm going to go the emotion I loved. I'm going to scream about the hat situation. It's not any, the league's too smart to have the moment that they've waited their whole life for be a picture in the wrong hat. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know why they can't fix it.
It should be very easy to fix. It's just this has been something that we have been complaining about forever. What happens is none of these trades are like official, but they're all agreed upon and they are official. They're just not official official. By the way, the phrase officially official, I don't know why, but that does something to me. Like it drives me nuts.
It really boils my blood. That is an Ian Rappaport thing, and I almost want to hate text him every time I see a tweet. Officially official. I really just want to punch that statement in the face.
So we have Ian Rappaport's number, and I'm sitting here.
Oh, he leaves me on Red a lot. Don't worry about it.
Oh, he's a Red. I'm not a Red guy. I only do read receipts with my wife. I don't do read receipts with anybody else.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to know if I can read your text. Trust me, I've read it. I am ignoring 90% of you people.
Yeah, I don't want people. That's weird. Why do you want that?
Yeah, I think it's insulting. Like when I see certain people that I want to reach out for the show, and I'm like, hey, you want to come on? And I could see that they read it, and nothing. I'll screenshot you. You'd be disappointed with how many people I've tried to get on, and it's all read.
But you can turn it off.
I know. I think they want you to know that I'm big timing you.
No, I don't. We only do that with my wife so that we know that, like, if we know that the other person's not dead.
Yeah, it has its purposes, but no, I won't let anybody know that if I could read it or not.
If you don't
respond, once I have a kid, I'll turn it on.
Wait. Oh shoot! I was gonna bring something else up, but I got a tweet here from Anthony, and he says at Bart Winkler Show the NBA sucks. Stop talking it over to at Yacht Rock. Mm.
I mean, if Anthony said it, let's just clear. Anthony, why don't you tell us what you want us to talk about? We are puppets for you. This is the Anthony Show now.
I don't even. He's already gone. He's already over at Yacht Rock.
What the hell's Yacht Rock?
Yacht Rock is awesome. It's like songs that you would listen to on a yacht.
Is a channel a station?
You're thinking about like
kids
these
pop?
Acoustic-y guitar, lyrical, little bubbly songs like the 80s, like Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, Looking Glass, Jerry Rafferty, Michael McDonald, Hall & Oates.
Yeah, I know those are actual people that exist. I can probably get you three combined songs out of all of them. But to listen to that instead of us, that seems like a poor decision.
I disagree. If I could listen to Yacht Rock right now.
Hall & Oates is, let's see. They're from Philadelphia. They have that one song, dude. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. They had that one song?
I'm trying to think what the hell it's called. Nah, I don't remember. I like the song. Oh, You're Making My Dreams Come True. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's Hall & Oates. That's the song I know. And then Rafferty is the saxophone thing. What is it, Baker Street?
Yep.
And who the hell else did you say?
I said a few other names in there.
Yeah, there. I know songs. I know music. The wind is right, you can find not that one.
You don't know this song?
Nope.
Marco, do you know this song?
I do, but I couldn't tell you who sings it. I don't remember.
Oh. I got to hit the chorus now. It's Christopher Cross.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. I would totally know that.
See, I'm conflicted with this guy because in music class in elementary school, we had to write to somebody, and I had to write to him, and he never wrote me back.
I mean, are you sure that he got the letter? First of all, that song is, you know, mildly pleasant. I don't mind it. Are you sure that he got the letter?
I am not.
Yeah, it could be like Ringo Starr in The Simpsons. Maybe he still hasn't gotten it yet because he's gotten so many.
you'll get that letter in about 20 years.
You never know.
You know who the worst interview I've ever had? Was Richard Marx. Do you guys know Richard Marx?
I know the name.
Did you ask him about Daisy Fuentes or something? Like, what? Why was it so bad? How can we see
forever? This guy. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. I've always loved Richard Marx.
That's a good song.
And it's hard, you know, it's hard because, like, you'll run into a celebrity or something and you talk to him for 15 seconds and then that totally changes your whole feeling with how you feel this person is, you know, like just that 15 second interaction. I had Richard Marx booked on my music show when I was doing music forever ago, and he was like in line for an airport, checking in or bagging. It's like, don't pick up the phone then. We don't need to be doing it. If it's going to be that awful, you know, sometimes you could think the world of somebody. Like, there's a maybe NFL broadcaster who you've talked to 100 times on the phone, and then you see him at a casino in Vegas one time. So you're like, wow, I've talked to this guy. I'm going to go up to him.
I know the story.
And then you say, hey, it's Bart. We talk all the time. And he looks at you like he's never heard of you in his life. And he says, here, have a good luck, kid. And then he gives you a dollar chip to the Link Casino. And his name is Paul Allen. And he calls Vikings games.
It's the funniest story. And I've booked Paul Allen for Bart. And Paul Allen still has no idea.
No idea. Yeah. I've talked to Paul Allen after that. But I can't talk to Paul Allen. Like, I can't bring that up to him. Because when you booked him on this show, he talked with me with no carryover. It was like Daredevil came back, but they didn't acknowledge the first 3 seasons.
Same characters, but just a hard reboot. And by the way, when we do our two-a-days, guess who I'm booking for Vikings camp?
And he'll probably think it's a whole brand new guy. Like how these Barts are a dime a dozen.
Bart Winkler show, never heard of it.
I think you need to find Richard Marx.
Yeah, it was just so weird and so, but I don't want to, I can't, because I had a tough, you know, 5 minutes with him, I don't want to think my whole experience, like, I don't want to make that be who he is. I remember one time when there was this, we would do a toy drive, live remote radio broadcast at a toy drive, and I was on the air, and there was this couple that came up, and they said hi. And I said, hey, I just got a minute here. I got to go back on the air. Oh, no, that's great. We're so glad you're doing this. And then, later that afternoon, one of the other guys from our toy drive came up to me and was like, dude, what happened with you and this other couple? They said you were so rude. You were so short. And I'm like, what the hell, man? So sometimes, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
I thought you were going to tell a cool story about Richard Marx yelling at you that you were probably conceived during listening to one of his songs. Because it sounds like that's where he goes on social media. That's his favorite line. I thought you were going to head towards that.
I met Richard Marx at a casino once, and he threw one of his cassettes at me to shoo me away.
See?
That's not true.
No, but the Paul Allen one is true. He gave me a dollar coin, and I still have it.
You still have it? See, why would you tell him this story? I would love to hear this story if I was Paul Allen.
I'm going to make it happen this year. I there's no way I'm not going to let you talk to Paul Allen.
How could
about
you
this.
Not want to hear that story if you're Paul Allen? I would laugh hysterically at that.
I don't know. Paul's he's an interesting guy to speak with. He's the voice of the Vikings. Everybody knows his voice if they heard it.
He's tremendous. I think you're shortchanging him. I think he would find it funny, especially on the air. Maybe off the air, he's going to throw something else at you. On the air, I think he would play along.
Either way,
he would have fun.
Either way, it's going to be a great moment because if it goes the other way, where it's a complete train wreck,
at least we
have that on record.
It's even better if it's a train wreck.
So I'm going to have to say, and this has to be at the end of the interview.
Oh, yeah, you're not leading with it.
Well, if you lead with it, you have a chance that that's the end of the interview anyway.
Correct.
So.
But I want to know his thoughts on J.J. McCarthy before you throw it the chip at him.
I do, too. By the way, Paul, it was good meeting you that one time. He'll probably just be like, oh, yeah, it was good. You know, that's what he'll do. And then I'll be like, no, do you remember meeting me, Paul?
Oh, so you're going to make it super awkward. Good for you. Yeah.
Paul, I still have that. Paul, I don't know if you remember this, but I met you in Vegas once at a casino, and you gave me a dollar chip to the link. Do you know when it was, too? It was the day after the Super Bowl. So he was out there for the Super Bowl. It was the day after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, look, you can make this awkward, and that's great, and I'm all
Eagles,
for that.
Patriots.
But I don't know if you want to lead with, remember that time you treated me like a homeless person and threw a coin at me? Like, I feel like that's a tough sell at that point, no?
I met Paul Allen on the strip, and I said, hey, Paul, you've been on my show. He gave me half his sandwich.
And a drink with a cigarette put out.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Lemonade with a Marlboro.
A two-for-one VIP.
Half a pastrami with rye.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, good luck to you in the business, kid.
I sing that to Paul. All right. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show, and I am Bart Winkler. Great to be with you here this evening. Carlos Ortiz alongside. You can give us a shout. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Taking a look at some of the scores in baseball tonight. The Brewers beat the Pirates 4-2. The White Sox passionately made love to the scoreboard 7 times.
Try that again.
The White Sox passionately made love to the scoreboard 7 times. While the Diamondbacks just scored 3 times. What'd I miss?
No, I was just put off by the way you put it.
The Padres inserted their one into the Nationals 0.
What the? Inserted their run?
They took their one, make a one with your finger, and then make a zero with your other hand, and then insert it.
And kids, that's how I met your mother.
Johnny is in Atlanta. Johnny.
What's going on, Bart, man? I want to talk about the NBA draft. Man, this draft, I was excited for this draft because seeing these kids grow up, man, it was good.
It was an emotional draft. I think I saw more tears in this draft than any draft ever. It looked like they were getting drafted into something else. They were crying so much.
Hey, man, it was an exciting draft because I'm telling you, the steal of the draft was Ace Noel to the Hawks at 23rd. That was the steal right there because he was a 13th pick. And everything else. And
the steal is the Hawks getting the Pelicans number one pick next year.
Well, yeah, that too. And then they got Ace in the well too. So that's another pick. And then everybody was surprised about Ace Bailey to the Utah Jazz, but people don't understand. They set that up because Isaiah Collar and Ace Bailey played high school basketball together at McEachern. So that's where he wanted to go, and he ended up where he wanted to go. Because if you look on that Utah Jazz squad, 4 of them from Georgia. Isaiah Collar, Colin Sexton, Walker Kessler, Ace Bailey, all of them played for Georgia, so they've been playing with each other for a while. So, wasn't surprised about that, but the dumbest pick was Dylan Hopper to the Spurs. Dylan Hopper is the number two pick, would never see the court. How you going to play behind Devin Vassell, Stephen Castle, De'Aaron Fox, and Chris Paul? You ain't going to see that court.
Well, Paul's out. He's not coming back.
Well, yeah, on the roster, they still got him on the roster.
He's going to be a free agent.
Okay, but instead, he got three people he would not see. Unless they trade him, like they said, they might trade him to the Bucks. That might be a good deal, but you know,
Harper?
That's what they were saying in the draft. They drafted him to trade him, but I don't know.
I think if the Spurs would have got the number one pick, then Giannis is a Spur right now, and the Bucks have Cooper Flagg.
I doubt that. I hope they wouldn't have made that deal. Yeah, I'm just saying. But I'm excited for this draft class because seen a lot of these kids grow up, seen a lot of them play at AAU tournaments. So that's I'm excited for this class. I think it's going to be a good class. But that's my take on the day. And, oh, yeah, and then the Brooklyn Nets, I see why you always the worst team in the NBA. You drafted just foreigners. You ain't draft nobody.
Hey, so, that's
I know. I haven't seen them play, so they might be ballers, but you know, I don't think so. But you know, hey.
All right, Johnny, you be good.
All right, same.
Getting Johnny's takes. Ryan's in Ontario. Ryan.
Hey, Brent. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
How was the game today, brother?
Game was good. I spent no more than the $1 that I had planned to spend, and I left early, and I got my steps in. So everything came up pretty good for me.
And free parking, too?
Yeah, I parked not in the stadium lot. I parked a couple of blocks away in an industrial park, and I didn't get a ticket.
Amazing. So one more thing. I want to thank Joe Thornton for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
The NHL?
Yeah, I was going to bring it up. Good job.
So did you see the video of Lanny McDonald, what he called him?
I didn't.
That should be big news. Like, it was laughable.
What did he call him? Can you say it?
Well, Joel Thornton didn't answer his phone. Lanny McDonald had to call him like three times.
Oh, yeah.
No, well, like Joel Thornton's, I live in St. Thomas, Ontario, in Joel Thornton's hometown, right?
Yeah.
So that's amazing. He never won a Stanley Cup, but like he had 1,700 games and 1,500 points, I believe.
Yeah, he's one of the good ones.
No, thanks for taking my call, Bert. I love Carlos and Marco Belletti, and yeah.
Ryan in Ontario. Thank you, Ryan. Joe Thornton. Got into the Hall of Fame. How about that? Pretty good stuff. Nothing better than Joe Thornton in the 1,714 games that he played when he scored 430 goals with 1,109 assists for 1,539 points, which ranks him 14th all-time in NHL points and 7th in assists. Of course, he won the Hart Trophy and Art Ross Trophy in 2005-06, only player to win either award while playing for two teams in one season. He also got the Olympic gold medal with Canada in 2010 and was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame just this year. His number 19 was retired by the Sharks in 2024.
Bravo.
Jumbo Joe. So where I parked, I was a little confused because it said 2-hour parking. And then it said 1 hour before, 1 hour after stadium events. What does that mean to you? It said the sign, that's exactly what the sign said. It said 2-hour parking, 1 hour before, 1 hour after stadium events. What I took it as was you can park here starting 1 hour before the stadium event and you get up to 1 hour after.
That's what I would think as well.
But I was kind of worried it was
2-hour limit.
The 2 hours is gone. You get 1 hour before events and 1 hour after and you can't actually park here during. But I didn't get a ticket. That would have ruined the whole thing. I was actually going to They'll print you a ticket because everything's digital. So they'll print you a real ticket, but that costs $10. And I was really adamant on not spending any more dollars than the dollar fee I spent with the free kids voucher I had. So I did good. 888-710-4ISN. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.